This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event.
Good morning.
Terry Hunter and Sean with you this morning. It's the tag team on Joy 94.9.
We're all back together.
Reunited.
How you feeling, Harry?
Bloody great.
Are you ready for this? This morning on the show, we're going to be joined by the one and only Magda Sabinski.
Yay.
Did I say it right? Probably not.
Good effort, though. If she's listening, 10 points of effort she probably has given you.
Yeah. She's written a new book. It's called Reckoning. And she'll be joining us a little bit later. Also today, we're going to be talking to director, actor. He's appearing in the Melbourne Fringe, W.D. Stevens, with a show called Why Her?
Why Her?
Why Her, indeed.
Why Her?
Oh, no, Harry. She can hear it.
Why Her,
Stop Harry. Pointing at
Stop
her.
Stop pointing at me.
Oh, it's good to be back. The sun's shining. It looks delightful out there.
There's balloons over Melbourne this morning.
Yes. I mean,
balloons
last week.
Balloons over Melbourne.
We've already talked to your Nan.
Yeah, we've seen Nan.
Oh, Nan's FaceTimed in. Yep.
She was in a nightie.
Last week, you probably guys tuned in and we were like the youth station on the show.
Yep.
But now, Sean,
we're back.
You've crossed a significant milestone since we last met. And now it's just easy. Now,
I mean, we all have. We've all got a week older.
Yeah, we have got 1 week older. Some of us a bigger week than others.
Yeah. This is not a good part of the song to turn up.
Sorry.
Wow, okay.
I was getting into
cool.
That.
Cool.
My jam.
You are listening to the tag team. It is 6:36. We've got a lot coming up. Stick with us. Good morning.
Joy.
Guys, I've got some disturbing news.
Oh, uh-oh. Okay. Yes. What do you got?
Well, it's not about me. It's not. Well, anyway, sorry. Go with me here. A share house in the UK. There's about 7 people in there already. It's a gross story, and I want to differentiate. It's not about me again.
Did it turn out to be a slumlord situation?
Well, it may still do. But they got a note, and it read as this: "We thought we should just mention something that has become very apparent to us. The frosted glass in the bathroom at the front of your house does not give you much privacy. In fact, none at all. Especially in the evening when the light is on and you are in the shower."
So the neighbours are just seeing all 8 of them in the full nutty.
Yes, including their children. The children, the neighbours' children.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me call this how I see it.
Okay.
Nobody overestimates the privacy in their bathroom. So I think they knew what they were doing.
I don't think so.
They were just saying, yeah, take a look.
No, they said it's a new
house. This is London.
They
take a look.
Give me raw.
They said they couldn't see out of the window. It's like, that's how frosted it is. And I think
one-way frosting, you're
Yeah, thinking? So I feel for them. Like, you wouldn't think, oh, we're probably backlit and creating, like, quite
a
the
sexy
quite
silhouette.
The show.
Yeah, I'd be nice in silhouette, I think, because I'm tall.
Yes.
He's really thinking about it.
Really?
Well, here's what I think.
You're projecting yourself out there onto the front of the street.
I mean, I've got some very similar disturbing news, actually.
Oh.
My younger sister, Madeline, has recently moved to a little country called Cambodia. So already, my panic levels are quite high.
Yeah.
The other day, she drops into conversation that she might need to get a window frosted. I was like, why is that? And she says, and I quote, oh, we've got a peeping Tom situation.
We've got a peeping Tom.
A peeping Tom situation, yeah. She's got a dirty Cambodian peeping Tom. Yeah, it's terrible. Apparently, I said, so here's how the comment goes. I said, well, what's he doing? She goes, well, he's just looking. I said, but what's he doing while he looks? She goes, what do you mean? She's like, is he just, she goes, I think he's just looking. I'm like, well, is he? She said, what? I don't know. I said, well, that's what you got to find out, because that really separates the men from the boys with the peeping Tom.
Yes.
That separates the cream from the cheese.
Don't use those words. Why have you taken us there?
Isn't that a saying? Separate the milk from the cheese?
Not in this instance.
The cream from the cheese?
No, definitely not.
Know your sayings.
And know when it's appropriate or not appropriate to use them. When talking about peeping Toms, talking about cream, not appropriate.
Right, okay, well, here's what I think. I just think there's two types of peeping Toms. There's a curious
George.
Thomas, curious Tommy, curious George, thank you. There's a curious George, and then there's
a peeping Tom.
And then there's malevolent Stephen, who's just fapping away in your window under
a
shrub.
Oh, you said it. You used the word.
Under a shrub.
You've used the word.
So anyway, apparently he wasn't the more malevolent one. So anyway, they're having little frosted windows over, but I'm not happy with that. She said, oh, the building's very secure. There's a 24-hour security guard. I'm like, yes. Well,
is he the peeping Tom?
Is he the peeping Tom? Yeah. What's his name? Is it Steve? Is it George?
Security Stephen.
Security.
Oh, no. So have you had an update?
No, not yet.
Oh, great. Thanks for letting everyone be scared for it.
Oh, yeah. They're the ones I have to worry about. since spreading it around, though, I've noticed that peeping Toms are a dime a dozen.
What are you spreading around? You're on the tag team on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
We are talking peeping Toms.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm a little disappointed we haven't talked about peeping Toms earlier than we've come to it. I don't mean earlier today. I mean earlier in life.
Yeah, and that also concerns me.
It's such an interesting topic, though.
Yeah. So's your fascination.
No, because I don't think, like, hashtag not all Toms, because I don't think all peeping Toms are creepy, because I am mad for a... Like, if you're walking down a street of an evening and people left their curtains open, I mean, they're inviting to be Googled at.
To be Googled at?
Goggled at?
Ogled.
Sorry. But mainly, I'm mainly doing
imagine
it.
You out the window with a laptop. Google.
Well, it's
I'm
interesting.
Mainly, I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's interesting that Sean mentions a laptop at a window, because the share house I used to live in, one of the girls that lived at the front of the house, it was just on like a lovely leafy area of Melbourne.
Stop bragging.
So, you know, anyway. I tripped over my diamonds. So is that your catchphrase?
Come on. What happened at the window at the front of the house?
She's on a laptop. She's looking down.
How far is her face from the window?
Millimetres. It's like...
Millimetres.
It's like
very
right
close.
There.
Yeah. So it must be
there.
A very small desk.
Yeah. And she's head down, bum up, tap, tap, tapping away. And then looks up, and right in front of her is a couple of meat and two veg. So she looks up, sees that.
A flasher.
Flasher looks up further, and it's a guy with his Mac open, flashing her. So she screams, he runs away. So that was...
Tom's tackle.
Yeah. So that's
a whole new level to peeping Tom.
That was awful, right? Then, a couple of months later, she's cycling home. She can hear heavy breathing behind her. She thinks, oh, he's a bit noisy behind me on his bike. But I'll let him overtake. Looks the side of her, it's the same guy in the nuts, completely starkers.
What?
Riding next to her. So she cycles faster, he cycles faster. She can't get rid of him. She goes 2Ks with him on her tail.
No. How does that end?
No.
It ends when she gets to the house, pulls in, screams, we all run out, he cycles away.
Oh, no. Oh, that's creepy, because now he knows.
Now he knows.
Wish that she was the same woman.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm reassessing my opinion on peeping Tom. Some of them are creepy.
Hashtags.
Some.
All creep.
Stop with the hashtags. We're not hashtag people. Stop making up hashtags. All right?
Sorry.
Hashtag Sean. Not my Sean.
Hashtag 30 and grumpy.
No.
See, because when I'm peeping into people's houses legally from street level... Don't mishear me. What I'm really looking at is, like, you know, interior design.
All right.
You know, what have you done with it? What have they done with those drapes?
Is that
they don't
really?
Have any. I'll look on in.
Is that really what you're thinking?
Look at that city.
Are you
is
thinking,
that Danish?
Oh,
that's Danish.
The carpet does match the drapes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like an interior design peeping Tom.
This is how
I'm there.
Picture it going.
I am nude under my under my trench coat, but I'm really getting off on the design.
Oh my gosh. I think this is what you're actually doing. You're waiting. You're weighing up who's in there, and you're like, wood, nah, wood. Would do that, yeah.
Wood veneer, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Wood
no,
tables.
No.
Beautiful design.
Coming through the airwaves, loud and clear.
You're listening to Harry, Sean, and the Peeping Tom.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au. Click on the podcast tab and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy. So check it out now. joy.org.au.
You are listening to the tag team on Joy 94.9. It's Harry, Hunter and Sean with you right now, as well as WD Stevens. Good morning.
Hello.
You've got a show for Melbourne Fringe. What's it called?
It's called Why Her, and it's about Chris, who's a gay man, and his friend Dan takes him out to a club one night where he meets Emily, and he's strangely attracted to her. So he spends the play working out what this means for him and the rules, in inverted commas, of his sexuality.
And
was it a gay club or a straight club, just out of interest?
I think it was just a generic nightclub. Wow. You know,
playing with danger there.
Oh.
that was his mistake. Yeah.
And what are some of the rules that are explored?
Oh, well, when I say rules, I mean, well, you take most of the categories, the most broad categories that we have is, you know, gay, straight, and bi, mostly. And so straight means you're attracted to the opposite sex, gay is the same sex, bi is both sexes. But I think the way that we're moving, you know, as a society these days is that that's becoming a much more loose interpretation, and everyone else is exploring themselves within that. Like when I had when I was doing the audition process, so many of the applicants, particularly the women actually, said that they had friends who were dealing with the same thing. I was surprised to find that this actually was happening. So I had one girl who was telling me about her friend. What was it she said? He was attracted to this girl, but he decided not to go for it because he felt that he'd made a commitment to being gay.
Oh,
which,
wow.
Maybe that wasn't the exact word he used, but
Is that what happens to the character? The character feels as though he can't sort of go there because
of
what
is exactly right.
Castle he's built around himself.
Yeah, because the idea is he spent his youth trying to convince everybody, and then once they finally accepted and took him seriously, he was like, right, so this is who I am. And to have this come along, what's everyone going to think? You know, like, we were right all along and all of that.
And so in the play, does the character sort of go on that journey independently, or do they, like, is it a sort of a secret decision, or do they discuss it
See, Chris has got this friend called Dan, who's been, you know, his friend since high school, and we had an interesting discussion about this the other day, whether he was, you know, shoulder to cry on, and that wasn't quite right. It was, he's a bit more like a wall that he just chucks stuff against, you know, so he turns up at his place 2:30 in the morning in the first scene and just sits on the couch and unloads. And great because we see James Singleton is playing Dan, and he's just sitting there like, oh yeah, yeah. 2:30 in the morning, and he's like, and he's listening to what he has to say. I mean, there's nothing so much that he can say, so he just lets him
unload
and then goes, right, well, I'm going back to bed.
Harry, that's terrible.
You guys are interpreting what happens in a very different way to what I'm sure it plays out in on stage. Yes. Now, the play, there's a cast of how many?
It's a cast of three. I'm not in it. I'm staying back and doing the light and sound.
But you've written the play?
Yeah, I've written and I've directed it.
How much has it changed from when you first wrote it to what we're going to see come Fringe time?
Well, I did the first draft of it in about a week, really, because I had to get it in quickly and decide whether it was a good enough show to actually go and do at the Fringe. And it was...
Luckily, yes, it is a good enough show.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes. It's a wonderful show. You must totally come and see it.
There it is. Well done.
And I had the help of a wonderful script editor named Celia Hanscom. She, we went through scene by scene, line by line, and just looked at what was really good and what didn't work so much. And it was quite disheartening at times to see her with her pen going down the page, just going... Just crossing stuff out, and like, no, I really like that.
But now you obviously really love it, and it's almost ready. When's the debut?
Well, it starts on Monday. We're on at the Owl and Cat Theatre, which is just off Richmond Station, and we start at 6:30. It runs for about 70 minutes, so 6:30 to 7:40, and the cast have just got such a great handle on it. And, of course, they're having to do all the scene changes and things. Because,
wow.
I mean, it's at the Fringe. And so sometimes with Fringe shows, you expect it to be a little bit avant-garde and things. But this is much more conventional mainstream theatre, you know, defined sets and scenes and costumes. So often they're having to change the whole set at the same time as changing a whole costume, and that's quite a taxing thing, but they've done
small
so
space
well.
As well, you've got to get a lot done.
Oh, yeah.
Learn a long at once.
Well, I chose the Owl and Cat specifically, and don't tell Gabrielle this, but because it has a door. And you know, most spaces, they're you know, raised stages with curtains and a bit of a backstage area. But this is, you know, brick walls all around with a hard, hard marble floor and a door off to one side. And because most of the scenes are set in their apartments, it just makes for a very easy set that you don't have to bump in and out. Because the mainstay of the set is a kitchen bench plus a park bench, which is dressed up in most scenes to be a couch with, you know, rugs and things. And I was surprised that it actually looks as convincing as it does.
Well, you can see Why Her at the Allen Cat Theatre in Richmond, and you can grab tickets online at melbournefringe.com.au. Thank you so much for coming in, WD.
Yes, thank you.
Good luck with it.
Joy 94.9.
Freaky holiday destinations. Freaky is a strong word. Unusual. Let's go with unusual.
Let's, yeah.
Unusual.
All right, so I was at this bozo's birthday on the weekend, Harry. Yeah. And I was talking to his fun friend, Gracie. Just Grace. You will never guess where she's just been on holiday. All right. She went for 3 weeks.
Can I have a tour?
Maybe yep. By saying you'll never guess, you've already sort of thought, well, maybe you will.
All right. Mongolia.
No.
Ooh,
no.
Am I getting close?
Geographically, couldn't tell you.
All right. But unusual enough?
More unusual, I think.
More unusual?
Slightly.
Somewhere you think maybe you couldn't get to?
Portland.
Victoria or US?
That's where she's from, actually.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, it was only bloody North Korea.
Really?
Yeah. She's gone on a state-sanctioned guided tour of North Korea.
Yes.
For how long? About 2 weeks?
I think it was just over 2 weeks.
How fascinating.
It's very controlled.
Oh, yeah. But I tell you what, Sean, just between you and I think they might have brainwashed her a bit.
Do you think?
Well, she came back, like, quite thrilled with North Korea.
Yeah, really? And to the point, though, where she's now, it sounds like she's got timeshare and she's, you know, maybe she gets a commission.
I've got a timeshare apartment. Well, on surface, no, Pyongyang.
Yeah. And so, because like, I want to go. As soon as she said,
yeah,
I'm doing it,
too.
I was like, oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
It's very cool.
But then she seemed to think it was such a decent place that I thought, oh, maybe it wasn't that exciting.
But, you know, how many people do you know say, I've been to North Korea?
Well, that's true. It is good for the cred.
Yeah.
Pop it on the Twitter, get a couple of retweets, that's for sure.
I've got a couple of questions.
Yep.
Nightlife.
Banging.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Lots of karaoke with her tour guide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they put them in the hotel of an evening and she said, oh, we weren't really allowed to leave. And I was like, what do you mean you weren't allowed to leave? Like, could you have left? She's like, oh, no. I was like, oh, well, that means, yeah. You're just stuck.
You're
there.
Locked in, yeah.
Yeah, it was very, and like they had to go to like all the official temples and see all the embalmed dead bodies of their previous leaders.
Yeah,
and stuff.
That's a thing.
Yeah, it was cool. But they got to see little performances and stuff.
And by little.
You know they do those, incredible Rocker Stedford style performances?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where every single person who lives there has to participate in.
And the unison is to die for, Harry. I think sometimes literally people die for it.
But so, yeah.
It is that good. It's that good.
Yeah, she was watching thousands upon thousands of kids perform in unison in their dress, costume, and just for a rehearsal. Like, it's not for the real thing.
All for her.
Yeah. Her and the other seven people on the bus tour. Off the bus, we're off to watch a little show.
Yeah. The National Rocker Steffers rolled into town.
Oh, wow.
Now, listen, I'm proposing a tag team trip to North Korea.
Done.
I don't think they'd let us broadcast for gay radio from there. We'd have to tuck it away up here.
Yeah, you have to have that implanted so they have no idea.
Yeah.
She said she went to a kindergarten and there was a couple of questionable murals on the wall, mainly people being killed.
Oh, no.
It's not like your little Bugs Bunnies or anything.
No.
It was just some graphic images of war.
Joy.
You're listening to the tag team on Joy 94.9. It's 16 minutes past 8 and right now, ooh, a warm 11 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
It's balmy in the studio.
It is. Much more relaxed morning for me this morning, guys.
Yeah,
than
you're
I
all
yesterday.
Lounged out there.
I'm lounged out.
Across
I'm
the desk.
Loving life. Yesterday, though, oh, not so much.
What was wrong with yesterday?
I had to get up very early and hide my pussy.
Why?
Because they don't know I've got it at the rental joint.
Oh.
Yeah. So I've got a cat, as you guys know.
As you called just then a pussy again.
Well,
with
I had to
the,
hide my
your
pussy.
Choice of
it's
words.
Like that,
is...
You can say that though, can't you?
Yeah, but maybe.
Hope so.
Maybe you should have given it.
It
a
might
bit
already
more context.
Been taken off the air. I'm not sure.
No, older people call it the P word.
Yeah, they
the
do.
Cat,
they do
a lot. Because Hans' mum does it all the time.
Does she?
Yeah, she's like, "Have you seen my pussy?" I'm like,
"Not yet, mate.
No joke. Oh, my pussy's been out in the rain."
Okay, now everyone's joined in, eh?
Yeah.
What's your cat's name?
Archie. So I had to hide Archie because they don't know we've got him. So I had to get up early in the morning and I wanted to take him down to the cattery, you know, the vet, chuck him in there for a day. I was willing to pay big money. Mm. Here's the thing, Harry. They won't take him unless he's got up-to-date shots. I can't be doing that. Yeah. I can't have up-to-date shots.
But you know that's the money that you were going to pay for him to go into the cattery? Could you just use that money to get his shots?
And then say, pick him up in an hour, but then not pick him up?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Just keep calling.
I mean, what
calling,
are they going to do?
Like a kid you've left behind at school.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Put him down, maybe.
Well,
maybe
no.
A downer. Maybe a downer. I tried to get out of... I was just trying to get out of my $40. Anyway, so a nice friend of mine allowed me to discreetly secrete my pussy in her bedroom.
Your choice of words, mate.
What?
You didn't secrete a cat.
Yes, we've been through this on the radio before, by the way.
Didn't
it is how you say it. And somebody texted in and supported me, so do not deny it. I secreted the pussy in the spare room, and then I had to go and pick it up at the end of the day. But I want to know, like, do you guys hide stuff from your landlords? I mean, you must. You've got a bloody menagerie, Harry. There's no way they know you've got 9 dogs and 3 cats.
We're out and proud.
Are you really?
Yeah, they know all about it. We had to get pet references from our previous place.
Pet references?
Yeah.
What does that include?
The cat was fine, didn't destroy anything.
Just the paw, like on a stamp pad turned onto the paper.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, where'd you get that dodgy reference from? Because I know as well as you do that that cat pisses aggressively, so... It's an aggressive pisser.
Some things are telling him confidence.
We talked about it on the radio. You stepped in its poop one day. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he did not write the reference for you. What does a pet reference say?
Pet reference, just from the other landlord being like, yeah, it was fine.
Didn't damage
anything. It was fine. Doesn't smell like cat urine.
And how many? It's going to regret saying that one.
Yeah.
And how many dogs do you have?
Just the one.
I've only got...
What? Don't look at me like that.
You're lying.
I've got one dog.
You've got one dog.
That they know about.
And one cat.
I don't know about.
Think you've got two dogs.
We look after my parents' dog sometimes.
Full time. Sometimes. Your parents in Wales. We look after their dog.
It's a full time carer.
Yeah.
They're Australian dogs.
What about you, Sean? Is there anything you're hiding from your landlord?
I don't think so. No?
No, I don't think there is either. So you're good.
I think I'm in the clear.
We've been chatting what you're hiding from your landlord. We've got a couple of texts in. We don't think we can read either of them out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They both involve illegal activity. So you won't be getting a Sofresh CD, but good luck to you.
And I just want to confirm to everybody, I have one cat and one dog.
Yeah.
Hunter, so if you are listening, real estate agents.
Yeah.
Hunter's convinced I have
two of each. For
some
reason, I've fallen down a stereotype and I thought that you had just tons of cats and dogs.
Interestingly though, right? I was... A friend in work was telling me about her housemate, who's a bit of a sneaky eater and just eats like all their like food. You know, like one of those housemates.
Well, like a millimetre of milk or a scrape of butter is okay.
No,
right?
Eats everything in the fridge included, right? Everything. And one of the other housemates had a weasel.
It's a weasel.
A weasel. It's like a ferret.
Oh, the actual animal?
Yeah, yeah, an animal, right?
They had a pet weasel.
A pet weasel.
In a share house.
In a share house.
Oh, well, that's disgusting.
They can be clean.
Yeah, and this other housemate that eats all the food, anyway, was like going through the food, whatever.
Shouldn't eat the body weasel, did she?
No, found this food and thought it was like a bolognese. Ugh. Anyway, smashing it. Turns out it was weasel food. she ate all the weasel food.
Take that.
So there was no food. But the weasel!
I didn't know you could have a pet weasel.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking like Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yeah. Yeah, but you call them ferrets here, right?
Oh, is it the same thing?
No, they're two different things.
I think they're bigger.
They're cousins of
bigger.
The ferret, but they're weasels.
How big is a weasel?
It's about that big.
It's the same size as a ferret.
Yeah.
No, that's smaller than a ferret.
Small. How's Food Thief at work going with you?
Yeah.
Any updates there?
You still getting fat shamed?
Yeah, all the time. I can't move.
Wait,
I go into the kitchen.
I'm joking.
And I dread...
Did you hear that?
Did he call me fat?
She said she can't move. I made a joke. That's because you're fat.
Oh,
stop saying it.
Sassy now, he's thirsty.
Turn his microphone off.
Pint of confidence
30,
this morning.
30 and cruel.
Yeah.
You can still hear me.
Turn everything down. Oh, it's...
Sorry, Harry, you talk to me, look me at me, one on two.
Every time I go in the kitchen, I dread seeing her coming in.
You dread seeing her?
Yeah, because then she comes in.
And is she in there a lot?
And now
you
she's
can
on,
tell us that she's in
on,
there a lot.
She's on this new diet now.
Oh, well, there you go.
But she's eating all the food at once instead of spacing
that's not
it out.
Helpful.
Would she eat the weasel food, be honest?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're in my share house. There's no food going missing, but I do have a bit of a dilemma. I've got a new housemate. He's a bit over-friendly, perhaps. Oh. And
isn't he?
I think in a share house, a closed door means a closed door.
Yeah.
And what goes on there behind it is no business to you.
I think if it's more than 30% closed, that's a big back off, I'm busy.
So I've been applying the open door rule means open to conversation, perhaps. If I'm in a public space, perhaps the communal kitchen or lounge room, absolutely talk to me there. But if I'm in my bedroom, maybe that's the no-go zone, yeah. Especially if the door's shut.
Absolutely.
He started just doing the shout-out. Oh, you in there, Sean? You in there? Mm. Are you dressed? Mm. And then proceeds to open the
door. Did you answer straight away or did you leave an awkward pause?
I left a deliberate awkward pause.
Yeah, that, you should have. That was a good, yeah, that was a good idea.
I'm not getting the point.
Not getting the point.
Opens the door, comes in, told me about his day.
Do you think that he's doing this to you more than any other housemate?
I feel like I'm a bit more accessible because I'm maybe a bit friendly.
Yeah. Guys, we've got a couple of texts in. We were talking earlier things you're hiding from your landlord.
Yeah, you've hidden your pussy.
We've got a text here. It's anonymous. It says, hey guys, my partner and I hide two cats and a dog.
Idiot.
So where? You can reply to that one to your girlfriend, Hannah, if you like.
It's very good. It's very good.
You loved it.
I feel like Sean today.
Why?
I feel like you're picking on me.
I think you think I'm picking on you about the cat thing, but I just genuinely thought you had loads of cats.
Yeah, and then him pipe it up as well. Well,
that was that.
Speaking of cats, it's almost time for the big show to arrive in Melbourne town.
The musical.
Well, it's, you know, it's
how long?
It's still months, but it's on the back.
I thought he was going to see Nan talk. Let's get ready to do our catchphrase.
It's on the back of all the like taxis and trams. I'm seeing those beady cat eyes staring. I'm getting excited.
You get excited by those beady cat eyes. Yeah. Excited. Oh, getting you.
Grisabella.
Have you been practicing like refreshing? Have you popped on your vinyl? Refresh yourself with the lyrics.
Yeah. All of my getting back my memory.
Oh my god! Oh, yeah. Why didn't I buy tickets for his 30th?
I know.
Cats?
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
You got me a lovely Portland print, and I absolutely love it.
He did really like it.
And everyone from Portland was really jealous as well.
Yeah, it was great.
Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Jason Gipps here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Are you a regular listener to our Joy podcast service? Like what you hear? Tell us. Email production@joy.org.au. Tell us something that you've heard that you've particularly enjoyed, and we'll pass it on to the volunteers of our podcast service. Our Joy program production team is made up of around 30 volunteers, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, email production@joy.org.au. And if you love what we're doing, why not support us as a Joy member? You can become a Joy member anytime, online at joy.org.au or call 1300 569 949. Thanks for supporting the diverse sound of a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Guys, I think it's time for our favourite segment. It's called Nan Talk.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Birthday edition. I love
it. Rogue.
Harry, how's the Nan of Wales?
Oh, her tiny little mind was blown this week. Why? Absolutely blown. So she's sent me a parcel and it got here a lot quicker than it's ever gotten before.
Whoa, how quicker?
A good maybe 3 days.
Oh, that's pretty good.
She's gone with a new bag. She's gone with new packaging.
Mm-hmm. Rather than playing pass the parcel.
Rather than doing it herself and it going through custom. She stopped sending food in it, which I think had something to do with it. So, but then she accused me of lying to her about, because it got you so quick, about when the other parcels were arriving.
What did she say?
She's like, I know you haven't been telling me when they come because you're busy and you forget. Oh. And I was like, no, when I get the parcels, I ring you to thank you. She was like, I don't want you to ring me to thank you. I want you to ring me to let me know that it's got there. And I was like, but when I get it, I ring you. And she's like, well, it's awfully quick, if you ask me. Awfully quick.
You're right. They do have my nan also has a preoccupation with mail and how long it takes to deliver. Mm. For instance, she wanted me to pop down to her house this weekend so I could deliver my dad's Christmas present next week.
Oh.
Mm. Oh. Which was August at the time because she didn't want to have to rely on the post. Yeah. I was like, I think it'll probably get to northern New South Wales in 3 months. I think you'll be home and hose there. Speaking of mail, as I said, my sister is living in Cambodia with a peeping Tom. And I don't think Nana knows about the peeping Tom. My sister is a primary school teacher. So on Facebook, she has, she's jumbled up her name so that people, her students can't find her.
Nice.
So her last name, Tom. Smith, like mine, she spells that bit backwards and she has a sort of nickname that's not her real name. Anyway, Nana wanted to...
You almost gave it all away.
Anyway, Nana wanted to post It's my sister's birthday, so Nana wanted to post a package to her house. But Nana just assumed that Madeline had changed her name.
What?
So she, because she's just new to Facebook. Yeah. So she addressed it to this made up name that doesn't mean anyone, and then sent it off to Cambodia.
Made up back to front name.
Yeah. Well, then that. Yeah. So
is it going to turn up?
Well, she hasn't received it yet.
Not a surprise.
And even if it's sitting in the letterbox, the bloody peeping Tom will probably grab it anyway.
Just have a peep in it before it gets there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was underwear too, actually, the gift. So they're mad for that. Seal off the line, don't they?
Yes.
Speaking of mail and not Nan's, my dad addressed a card to me this week, and I gave him my new address, but I gave him the wrong code, and it's with big texter that someone in the mail department has like gone and corrected me.
It.
Yeah,
turns I wonder out if they had to go wrong. Back to the warehouse.
Probably.
Who knew that we could move around the table and all share a mail story today?
Yeah. Also, Nan sent me a text with some good advice for being 30.
And what did she say?
Well, she said you're not over the hill and to enjoy life to its fullest, and 30 is great years ahead of me. So
and when you like new phone, who dis? Yeah.
No, I can't do that. Don't do this. I can't.
Busy can't Netflix that. And children.
And that, everybody, was Nan Talk.
Joy 94.9.
It is the tag team with you this morning, Harry, Hunter and Sean.
It's 9:05, guys, and we are very lucky to be joined by our next guest. You might know her as Pixie Ann Wheatley or Sharon Strezlecki. Of course, we're talking about Magda Zabanski. Good morning, Magda.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, we're good.
Great.
Thanks
how you doing?
Us.
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Very well.
Congratulations on the new book. It came out yesterday. It's called Reckoning. Where did the title come from?
it's in the book. And basically, the story is it's a memoir, but it's a kind of a family saga. And my father, during the Second World War in Poland, was an assassin in a top-secret counterintelligence unit, executing Polish traitors and helping to hide Jewish people. And I grew up, as I say in the book, in the shadow of his reckoning with what he'd done. And it's my reckoning, in a sense, at the age of 54, coming to terms with what my father had done, but also a whole lot of my own life and journey thus far. So
that's a much better answer than, well, I just guessed it was a book full of stuff that you reckon. Like, oh, yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, could have been that. And it's that as well.
I mean, in 2012, you made headlines when you publicly came out on a Valentine's Day. You've dedicated a chapter or two in the book to that time. How has life been for you since then, Magda?
Well, as I've said publicly, it's been fantastic. It was a slow burn for me, realising that everything was going to be okay. And it was one of the most empowering and healing things I've ever done. I think coming out is a very complicated and very individual thing. Everyone has their own time, their own process. It's right for some people, not for others. But certainly for me, it was a fantastic thing to do.
And after you came out, was it sort of in the time since, has it been as you expected, or has it been more challenging or more joyful, perhaps?
Better than I could have ever imagined, actually, because the sense of freedom, and I hadn't realised how I had this sort of armour around me, really. I was defensive the whole time and protective, and I just don't have that now. I'm really relaxed and can completely be myself. I mean, partly too, mine was a complex coming out because my sexuality is not really absolutely straightforward. If I was 100% lesbian, it would be very clear. Mm. Let me make it clear, I'm pretty leso. the subtlety and the nuance nowadays in terms of what label, if any label, that you want to have is it's much more complex now, and people understand that kind of fluidity much better. So it was a much better time for me to come out than earlier on when I would have been shoehorned into a particular label, I think.
So now that you've written the book about your life, have you thought about it being turned into a screenplay?
As a screenplay writer, that's always in the back of my mind, and particularly my father's stories about his work with the Polish resistance. And my whole family were involved in hiding Jewish people. They were smuggling guns into the Jewish ghetto. Incredibly brave people. Poland was the only country where the penalty for hiding a Jew was the death sentence. So, and this is my grandparents, my aunt, my uncle, really brave people. And there's incredible stories from my father's experiences during the war, and it's kind of the book's in some ways about intergenerational trauma, well, in a lot of ways actually, about the way that the lives of our ancestors are woven through our lives and impact continue to impact on through the generations.
And is that so my father, are they stories that you already knew, or when you went to write the book, did you have to go and speak and find out?
No, a lot of them I already knew, and I filmed my father in 1997. I had quite a bit of it, but then I sat him down in 1997 and asked if he would allow me to film him with the view to either writing a book or a film. And he said, I will speak of this once and once only. And then he spoke for 6 hours telling me all about his experiences during the war, which were pretty extraordinary and very confronting. And it was hard to watch those films back, actually. Mm. But, you know, I'm enormously proud of my family in Poland and the kind of, in terms of, you know, the Second World War and the Holocaust, we've heard the Jewish story and the German story, but what the Polish Catholic story was, not many people know what it was like for the people who were actually hiding Jews. So I very much wanted to tell that story, but also to explain how that had impacted on me and my life, because I knew from a very young age that my father was had experienced the Second World War and was very close to the darkest part of the heart of darkness in human nature, really. And that certainly impacted on my view of how humanity can be, how, you know, man's inhumanity to man, as it were. And that impacted on my understanding, my sexuality and my sense of safety in the world. So it's all interrelated, really.
Well, you've captured it so beautifully. It's a cracking read. The book's called Reckoning. Magda Szczepanski, congratulations again, and thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Magda.
Bye.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.